If you have your Bible, let's all stand in honor of the Word of God. And we'll read Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 7. You ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm going to talk to you this morning about knowledge. Knowledge. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Please bless the Word of God this morning as it's preached, as it's taught. Lord, help it to fall on listening ears, on willing, receiving ears, obedient ears. Bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. I pray this will be a help. I pray, Lord, that in the years to come, they'll look back and they'll realize that they made a choice and they made a decision today on choosing, Lord, the knowledge of Thee, the fear of Thee. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You'd bless now. Dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to the hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. The boys and girls are dismissed for Sunday school, for junior church, rather. Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 7. I'm going to talk to you this morning about knowledge. Mr. Webster said, knowledge is the clear and certain perception of that which exists, or of truth and fact. Let me repeat that. The clear and certain perception of that which exists. Truth and fact. My Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's good knowledge and there's, I guess, what we want to call bad knowledge. But if you want to get the right kind of knowledge, or knowledge that you shouldn't have, I guess I should couch it in those terms. But if you want knowledge, knowledge begins with fearing God. I don't care how much school you go to. I don't care how many books you've read. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have. My Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you look at chapter number 22, Proverbs 22, please, and in verse number 20, Proverbs 22, verse number 20, the Bible says, God is speaking, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Doctrine, truth, knowledge, the Word of God is so intertwined. You can hardly separate the two or distinguish or the three or four. In order to have the right kind of knowledge, in order to have truth, we must begin with God. God is truth, the Bible says. God possesses all truth. God possesses all knowledge. So if you want truth, if you want knowledge, your first step is to get to God. My Bible says in the book of Job, shall any teach God knowledge? Job said, the Bible says in the book of Job, hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. Job says in chapter 36, I will fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my master. For truly my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. God is mighty. The same thing is found in Job 37:16, where God is called perfect in knowledge. You cannot ever go wrong with God's word. You can never go wrong with God's truth. You can never go wrong with God's knowledge. It is only when we do not seek after God's truth, when we do not seek after God's knowledge and wanting to know what God says, is when we run into trouble and try to use our worldly wisdom and worldly knowledge that we've gained to decide the most important matters of our lives. Step number one is that the beginning of knowledge comes from the fear of God. And it's evident today that America as a whole does not fear God. I dare say that most, almost Bible-believing churches do not fear God, and so therefore we have a lack of knowledge in our country. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 1. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. If you have a paper and pen, you may write some of these verses down. We're going to go through a lot of Bible verses this morning. But I'm going to try to go through, I'll see how far we can get this morning, a step-by-step process of knowledge. Point number 1, all knowledge comes from God. In order to get knowledge from God, we must fear God. We must have the fear of God. The scorner seeketh for it, but he can't find it, the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. He searches for knowledge, searches for wisdom, but he ain't ever going to find it. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 39. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day, watch this now, had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in hither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. A child, when is born into this earth, into this world, has that unique standing that lasts only a short time, that's called a clean slate, as far as humanly possible. I know we're born with a sin nature, I understand that. But there is a time when you were born when the Bible says you had no knowledge between good and evil. As you take your Bible, please, and turn. We might as well read some more. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter number 8. Isaiah chapter number 8. And verse number 4. Notice about children not having the discernment between good and evil at an early age. Not having the knowledge of good and evil. Isaiah chapter number 8, verse number 4. Watch this. Before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother. Your child grows up, you know, when it's born, and then it starts turning over, starts picking its head up, then starts crawling, then starts saying a few words or walking. I can't remember now if it walks first or talks first. Amen. I should be able to remember that kind of stuff with my granddaughters around, but it's a process. But my Bible says, before the child shall have knowledge to cry, Dada, Mama. Huh? Well, that's something that a child picks up, how to call their own father and their own mother. It's a growing process. A child is born with a clean slate, with no knowledge of good and evil. But then as it's growing, it discerns good and evil and is able to discern who daddy is, mommy is. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter number 28, please. Isaiah 28. We can use this when we get to the end of the sermon if we have time, but look at verse number 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? You know, we're adults here, teenagers and adults. I'm sure each of us think that we have a head on our shoulders that we can think for ourselves. I'm sure if each person were to be asked, you know, how smart do you think you are? How knowledgeable do you think you are? How much do you know about certain subjects? I'm sure each of us could answer in varying degrees about different subjects of how much or how little we know and how much knowledge we've gathered all these years. But it's very interesting what God says. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand? Remember the adult Bible study this morning? Doctrine? Watch this. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You know why? Because most of us in this room are too stubborn for God. Most of us in this room are too set in our ways. Most of us in this room bring to this room religious baggage. Skeletons that we drag with us everywhere we go. And they fill the crevices of our mind And whether it was good or bad, your upbringing, your education, your religious institutions that you've attended in years prior have all made you think a certain way. And now when you come to God, you filter, and all of us, I'm included, all of us, we filter God through the filter of life that we've gone through. A lot of times, most people picture God from the picture they have of their father. Most people picture spiritual truths from the physical reality that they lived in. The best hope for our church, ladies and gentlemen, sits in that room upstairs. The best hope for this church 10, 20, 30 years from now sits in those Sunday school classes and those junior church classes, ladies and gentlemen. The best hope for this church in the next 10, 20, 30 years is what rides in on the buses, on the vans Sunday morning, ladies and gentlemen. I know that sometimes these children are tough to handle, especially you pick them up from some of the projects we pick them up with and the homes, the broken homes that they come from. But my Bible says, whom shall he teach knowledge? I'll tell you, somebody who has not been brainwashed and their minds have been ruined with religious junk that are contrary to the Word of God. People who did not grow up in non-Bible believing churches. And boys and girls and teenagers and adults who didn't grow up in churches where they wear robes and light their candles and don't know anything about the Word of God. The best hope for our society, the best hope for our church is young people, for children, for babes. I cannot overemphasize to you parents how much emphasis you ought to put on your children's lives when it comes to the Word of God. I cannot overemphasize that. They will take it with them for the rest of their life wherever they go. It may not seem like it sometimes. It may be dormant at times. They may be backslidden at times. They may not be living right at times. But I cannot overemphasize how important it is for you to read the Bible with your children on a daily basis. To bend your knees together and pray to Heavenly Father every single day. To come to church, to come to God's house and sing the songs of heaven. It will be ingrained in their minds, ladies and gentlemen, so that one day when God gets a hold of their heart, they may just do something for God that you and I are not capable or unwilling to do. I said, number one, that knowledge comes from the fear of God. Number two, get it to the children as soon as possible, amen? And by the way, that's why we ought to, and I'm not saying we ought to discount the elderly or discount the adults or discount anybody else, don't misunderstand me, but if there's one group of people that we ought to go after with the gospel of Jesus Christ, ought to be the young people, amen? Number three, take your Bible, turn back to Proverbs, please, chapter number 19. Proverbs 19. Proverbs number 19, verse number 27. My Bible says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Point number three is stop listening to the wrong crowd. Stop listening to the crowd that does not believe that the Bible is the very Word of God. Stop listening to a crowd that mocks the Word of God and criticizes the Word of God and laughs and scorns at those who trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior. I tell you, stop listening to a crowd, because if you don't, you're going to hang around with them. You're going to pick up their knowledge, their worldly knowledge, their evil doings, and it's going to rub off on you, and you are going to destroy your life. You can't see yourself 10, 20, 30 years from now, but God can. And my Bible says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. I feel sorry for any child sitting in a public school today. Those public government school systems hate God, hate the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. And on a daily basis, they criticize God, they mock God, they deny God, and all they do is promote a wicked, what they call an alternative lifestyle, is a perverted lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen, contrary to the very words of God. And they want children to think that this is normal. And I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking now in first and second and third grade all across America in the public schools. And then you wonder why God is cursing America. Then you wonder what's wrong with our school system. Then you wonder what's wrong with our children. When you extract God and the knowledge of God out of a school system where children are captives there and forced to listen to teachers who deny the existence of a holy God, then how can you expect your children, those children, to turn out otherwise? How can you expect those children sitting there for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day to come out with a pure mind? It is not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says separate yourself from them and stop listening to them. Look at chapter number 14, Proverbs 14. It's almost an evil word today in religious circles to separate yourself from the world. But you will never grow as a Christian. You read Genesis chapter number 1 and 2 and God separated everything at creation. It's only after separation that everything started to grow. When God separated the water from the earth, when God separated the night from the day, it's only after separation that things and people grow. Sure, it's a tough weaning process. It's not as tough as weaning calves off milk, though, amen? Proverbs chapter number 14. You don't want to know why. Proverbs 14, verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. That's what God says, not John Kalidas. Now, we said, number one, that the knowledge of God comes and starts with the fear of God. If you're not going to fear God and you're not going to tremble at his very words, sure, you're not going to pay attention to anything I have to say this morning, because it's all going to come from mostly going to come from the Word of God this morning. All these verses we're going to read come from God's Word, God's lips, God's mouth, ladies and gentlemen. And God says, get this knowledge like you breastfeed a child. Give them that knowledge when they're young. And then when they grow up, make sure they choose right. Make sure they stop listening to the wrong crowd. How many times you parents have told your children, hey, I don't want you hanging around so-and-so. Hey, I don't want you watching that program. Hey, I don't want you on that online thing right there. Get off the internet. Get off right now. I don't want you watching. I do not want you reading that book. Right. Well, if you parents do that, what do you think God thinks about us? Right. God says in my Bible, Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. And we know knowledge comes from the fear of God. We know that knowledge comes from God. And if someone is mocking God, oh, they may be pretty funny. You may like their jokes. Oh, they may seem like they're cool to hang around with. You might like their music. You might like their sports. You might like something about them. But I'm telling you, you pay attention to what God says. If you want God to bless you, go from the presence of a foolish man. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 10. Nehemiah chapter number 10. Verse number 28. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters. Watch this. Everyone having knowledge and having understanding. A person that separates themselves from the world to God does so because they have an understanding of the knowledge of God. They understand why it's so important that you shouldn't hang around the world's crowd and why you should hang around God's people. Because, watch what it says, they separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters. Here are the people who did that. Everyone having what? Knowledge and having understanding. You have to have knowledge before you have wisdom. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge, how and when to use it. You can't have any wisdom unless you first garner some knowledge. I feel sorry for you teenagers don't like school. You don't understand, you're wasting a valuable opportunity there. Even if it's a public school, you ought to try to learn as much valuable information as you possibly can, because when you get out in the real world, you're going to have to pay for it dearly if you want to go to college somewhere. Or you're going to have to learn on your own some things that you should have learned or should have paid attention hitting the books. But because, you know, all the cool kids in school were cutting class and weren't doing their homework and weren't paying attention and cutting up and laughing and they just slid by, you wanted to be like the cool people. Yeah? And now you didn't learn what they didn't learn. Valuable history lessons. Mathematics, geometry, algebra, English. Most people can't even speak right and read right and write right. Most people don't even have the right kind of penmanship anymore. Most people can't even add, subtract, divide without a calculator anymore. You know why? Because they laughed and scoffed at knowledge when it was available to them. Right. And God says, stay away from the people who care not, who don't have the words of knowledge. Number one, knowledge comes from God, the fear of God. Number two, get it to the children. Number three, separate yourself from the world. Number four, let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number one. People say, oh, I don't want to know, I don't want to know. Why would you not want to know truth and knowledge? I don't understand that. My Bible says in the book of Hosea that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The reason we are being destroyed, the reason our churches are being destroyed, our country is being destroyed, our families are being destroyed, I'll tell you what it is. It is a lack of knowledge, the Bible says. The reason why you individually will, the reason why your marriage will fail, I'm telling you, the reason why your family will fail, the reason your children will fail, is because we disregarded what God said in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. You mean you can call on God and God is not going to answer you? Well, sometimes it's just too late, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes when that little boy or girl is turned into a teenage monster, and that teenage monster is now sitting in jail or prison for 10 or 20, 30 years, because only because they refused the knowledge of God Almighty. I'm not saying there's no hope for them, but it'll take a miracle to straighten them out. My Bible says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Watch this. Here's the reason why. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And remember, we started off as saying the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. People today, you listen to me good. Church people today would prefer a rock and roll religious band that blasphemes God instead of the King James Bible today. Because those folks are following the world's music and they want to bring it into God's house. The average believer today is more concerned with the building that they meet in for church than the truth and the doctrine that is given from the pulpit, ladies and gentlemen. The average person today who says that they are a believer, the average person who says they trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior, has no regard with even what version of the Bible they use. It's like they don't care. It's like, oh, it's all the same to them. It really doesn't matter, Pastor. You have to choose. And life is made up of nothing but decisions in your life. That's all life is. Do not blame your life on circumstances and events that have happened to you. Do not blame your lot in life because of something that happened or somebody did something. Do not ever do that. Life is made up of the decisions that you decide to make when those circumstances pop up. Life is made up of decisions and choices that you make when people do something to you. And your life will be seen in 10, 20, 30 years as a result of the decisions you made 10, 20, 30 years ago. Your life will be rolled out, unfolded, and it'll unfold not in regard to the circumstances that you had to go through, but in regard to the decisions that you had to make. So most people don't even care whether they go to a Baptist church or not. I got news for you. If it was good enough for Jesus to be baptized by a Baptist, I think it's good enough for you to be baptized by a Baptist. Amen? I'll remind you that Jesus didn't go to John the Presbyterian. And he didn't go to John the Charismatic. He did not go to the Evangelical. He did not go to John Catholic. He went to John the Baptist. Amen? Well, if it was good enough for Jesus, then it should be good enough for you. But the world wants you to think more highly of yourself than you ought to, the Bible says. And you're going to bring the world's wisdom into your thinking and into your choosing and into your deciding instead of what God says. Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. And the fools, watch this, hate knowledge. Let me ask a question. Do you hate preaching or do you love preaching? I mean, do you love the King James Bible or you say, well, I'd rather have some other book? So, well, I don't think it makes a difference, preacher. You hold on to your book right now. We're going to go for a while and find out whether it makes a difference. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the light of God and man. Trust in the Lord with... I'm reading the wrong chapter. Chapter number 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That was good, but I want to get chapter number 2. I'm sorry. Verse number 4, let's pick it up there. Chapter 2, verse number 4, talking about knowledge and God's words. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you really love God, you would find the knowledge of God. It is not that hard to find. If I gave you a treasure map, and I put an X on there and said, this is where the gold is buried, and there's $1 million worth of gold buried here. You'd take your shovel and you'd find that X on the map, and you'd try to dig for it, trying to find that gold, if you knew it was there. Well, I got news for you. This is more precious than gold and silver, the very words of God. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. Please listen to me very well. Very good, what I'm going to say. Every single religious leader, pastor, minister, preacher, reverend, that does not just use the King James Bible, but does not believe that the King James Bible is the very word of God, is a fake, phony, and fraud, ladies and gentlemen. 2 Samuel chapter number 21. You know the story. David killed Goliath. 2 Samuel chapter number 21 and verse number 19. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines. Everybody with me? I want you to read this with your God-given eyeball. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeriagim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. If you have a King James Bible, that's what your Bible says. If you have an NIV this morning, The NIV has taken out the italicized words in the King James Bible. And the NIV, listen to me good, that the evangelicals use, that even some, half, or most Baptists use today, that other denominations use, and that everybody likes because it's so much easier to understand. Their perverted version says, so it says, that Elhanan, the son of Jeriagam, a Bethlehemite, slew Goliath. And if you don't have a king, if you don't have an NIV this morning, I have an NIV. Well, this one's a New Testament. You get yourself, or you look up an NIV Old Testament, and you'll find out that they have perverted the very words of God to take away and omit and subtract the brother of. The NIV contradicts itself in 2 Samuel 21 from 1 Samuel 17, where David is said to kill Goliath. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why in God's dear name would you ever listen to anybody who believes that the NIV is the Word of God when he takes out the very words of God that contradict that David killed Goliath? Why would anybody trust any lying religious leader that says that the NIV is as good as the Word of God as any other version? I'll tell you, it is only those people who really love God care about this kind of stuff. It is those people who are concerned about the very words of God that bring the knowledge of God to those who fear God. Those who use, and I'm not just singling out the NIV, I'm throwing out all the other perversions too. But those who are using the NIV, it is copyrighted by a man, I believe it's owned by Rupert Murdoch, ladies and gentlemen, who owns all the copyright to other perverted books. And you cannot print and publish the NIV without permission from Rupert Murdoch. I can get a King James Bible and print it all I want and get nobody's permission because this is God's book. This is the only book that's ever brought revival to America. This is the only book that's ever brought revival to churches. This is the only book that has saved souls from hell, ladies and gentlemen. Why are we destroyed? Because God said in Hosea that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Don't you care about the basic, simple, most important foundational truth, the Word of God? If you're not going to care about the Bible being the very Word of God and the words contained inside the Word of God, then you're not serious about God. And your life 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago from now is going to reveal how selfish you really were. You are more concerned, listen to me good, about your music than the very words of God. You are more concerned about the stained glass windows than the words of God. You are more concerned about hobnobbing with the evangelical crowd and the big old churches that have all the money in the world instead of the Word of God. Are you concerned about the knowledge of God? Are you concerned about what every word of God says? If the NIV is wrong in that place, what makes you think it's not going to be wrong in every other place, ladies and gentlemen? I'll remind you that the NIV calls Jesus Satan in Isaiah 14:12. Look it up. Not now. I'll take this sermon and look up anything you want afterwards. Search it. Google it. The NIV changes Jesus from the morning star and makes him the son of the morning, equal with Satan, who fell from heaven. My Bible says in Revelation 22:16 that Jesus is the morning star. But the NIV makes Jesus the son of the morning, equaling him in Isaiah 14:12 as Satan himself. But yet thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands flock to hear evangelical preachers and teachers and women speakers use an NIV. And then you wonder why those people's lives are being destroyed. The right kind of knowledge will give you the right kind of life. The right kind of knowledge will make you spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, not in hell. The right kind of knowledge will tell you salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone, and you have to be born again in John chapter number 3 the way Jesus said. The right kind of knowledge will give you the right perspective of history. And remember this, history always repeats itself, ladies and gentlemen. And as Brother Ruckman always used to say, he says, the one thing people learn from history is that people never learn from history. Yeah. You didn't think history was important in your life. You see, this book of knowledge that we're holding in our lap, in our hands this morning, will teach you the truth about men and women, not what society wants you to learn. This book will teach us about living right and thinking right and choosing right and having the right kind of a godly marriage and the right kind of a godly family and the right kind of godly children, the right kind of godly churches and how to work and about your finances and about your health and everything else about life. This book of knowledge here will get us to the right destination the right way. As I said in the adult Bible study, so many people are so consumed with being in a vehicle that's luxurious and beautiful and expensive, going the opposite way, straight to hell. So, I'm just interested in the ride. Well, what if the ride ends up in the wrong direction, ladies and gentlemen? Have you ever asked the conductor and the driver of the vehicle which way they're going or where their destination is? Oh, no, I'm just having a good time. You're not going to have a good time when you finally get to your destination. Your trip is going to be a lot shorter than you think it is. The most important thing about your life is finding out the destination where you're going to end up and work backwards from there, ladies and gentlemen. I'd rather have a rust bucket going the right direction than a Lincoln Continental and a Mercedes-Benz going the opposite direction. We're more concerned with our emotions and our feelings. We talk more about our circumstances and our philosophies and our dreams. We are led by our intuitions and gut feelings, and usually by the wrong spirit, introduced by wrong friends, and by worldly advice. And then we want to blame God and the church and the preacher. Why didn't you tell me? God's going to roll the videotape of August 11, 2013 at the judgment seat. He said, weren't you paying attention? Weren't you listening? Wasn't he trying to warn you? Don't you care about your children? Your grandchildren, your neighbors, your family, your relatives, your brother, your sister, the people that you say you love and you care about. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about the weather. But the one thing we dare not speak about are the very words of knowledge, the knowledge of God. The one thing that can set us free, the truth of God. We're afraid. We're spineless. See, knowledge is powerful. And knowledge can be dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. Knowledge is a blessing. Knowledge is health. I say get yourself some knowledge of the Word of God. I say, number one, the beginning of knowledge comes from the fear of God. I said, number two, teach it to the children. Number three, separate yourselves from wrong instruction. And number four, we're going through it right now, is choose. You need to choose on your own. It's not good enough for your dad or your mom to choose for you. It's not good enough for the preacher to choose for you. You on your own must choose the knowledge of God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, please. There's no way I'm finishing it this morning, but we're going to get through some of this. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. King David has died. King Solomon has now ascended the throne. And God comes to him in a night vision, in a dream. He says, ask of me what you want. And in verse number 10, here's what Solomon asked God. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? He said, well, wasn't Solomon the richest man that ever lived at that time? Yeah, he was. But he didn't ask God for riches. You know what we're asking? We're asking for money. We're asking for jobs. We're asking for things. I have to have this. I need this. No, the only thing you need is God. The only thing you need is the Word of God. You just have been taught that you think you need things. Verse number 10. On verse number 11, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Solomon didn't ask for money or riches or power. Too many people are consumed with power. They're on power trips. They want to control people. They want to be over people. You know what God's people ought to be addicted to? The Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to be asking God for help and for wisdom and for knowledge so we can help other people who are struggling with broken homes and broken marriages and children that are despondent and discouraged. People that have addictions and are bound by the chains of their sin. If God's people would just ask God for wisdom and knowledge, James 1:5 says that he's promised to give you. Amen. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give to all men liberally and abradeth not. God will give you that wisdom if you ask, and God will give you that knowledge if you just ask. It's waiting there for you, for it to be given to you. Now I'm going to skip, take your Bible, turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter number 4. Right after Daniel is Hosea. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. With Lamentations thrown in. Verse number 6. My people, not the heathen, not the lost, God's people. You think because you come to church and carry a black book, wear a white shirt and tie, dress in a skirt or a dress, you think that qualifies you as being right with God. My Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You look at America the day she turned her back on the King James Bible. You look at the public schools in 1961 and 62 when they took a King James Bible out of every single public school in America. You tell me how the public schools have been since the 1960s, ladies and gentlemen. Now you have to have police officers and guards and SWAT teams in there, metal detectors, and now they're trying to arm teachers and arm them with handguns to protect your children. You know why? Because they kicked out the best protection they had in the 1960s. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Same thing happened at our church. Our churches are being destroyed because God's people think they're smarter than God. They're being fed the lies of religious leaders and ministers who are lying to their people. And their people are being destroyed in front of them because they're more concerned about how much money comes in their offering baskets. They're more concerned about how many people fill out the pews, instead of teaching people the doctrine that we talked about in the adult Bible study this morning. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Look at verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. I went to a church years ago. Heard a fellow, evangelist, whom I liked years past. Came to the church where I heard him years prior. But the leadership of their church had changed. And his whole sermon was just about this thing. We shouldn't be concerned about controversy. We ought not to be controversial, he said. Sad day when God's people, listen to me good, Ask John the Baptist if it was controversial for him to preach against Herod and having his head cut off. Ask Paul if it was controversial of him appealing to Caesar and having Nero cut Paul's head off. Ask James, who was killed with the sword, whether it was controversial preaching the gospel and the word of God. Ask Peter, who was put in prison. Ask the last 2,000 years of Baptist martyrs who were burned at the stake for preaching the same truths that we are preaching today, whether we should be controversial or not. God has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. If your neighbor had cancer and you had a cure for cancer, and you did not disclose that cure for cancer to your neighbor, and you just let your neighbor pine away and waste away and finally die a gruesome death, how could you live like that with on your conscience like that? Knowing that you had the answer for his cancer, but you didn't say anything. Well, I ask you this question, ladies and gentlemen. How can you let your mother or your father, your son or your daughter, your sister or your brother, who is one breath from hell, not hearing the gospel come from your lips? You not one time sitting down with concern and compassion and say, Dad, Mom, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. God has a controversy with you. My Bible says that God says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But today, God's people are more concerned with their sacrifices and their burnt offerings more than the truth and the knowledge of the King James Bible. Even like it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, they did not even want to retain God in their knowledge. In Romans 10, verse number 2, they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Oh, how sad, ladies and gentlemen. How sad. These people that are always learned but never able to come to the knowledge, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7. Most marriages are broken up today because the husband or the wife or both possess no knowledge of what God says about the marriage. 1 Peter 3, 7 says that the wife is the weaker vessel. You cannot expect your wife to do what a man can do. You cannot expect her to be put under the same pressures that a man can be put under. My Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 18, that we ought to grow in knowledge. My Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 20, that we have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge is so important, ladies and gentlemen, but we discount it. We're more concerned with our videos and our movies, our name brands and our clothes and our vacations and our credit cards and our debt and our houses and our cars more than God and his words. My Bible says that wise men lay up knowledge. My Bible says through knowledge shall the just be delivered. My Bible says whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. My Bible says every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. My Bible says a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that hath understanding. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. All the words of my mouth, God says, are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. It's not that difficult to read the Bible. It's not that difficult to understand it. It's plain. It's easy. It's available. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge, the Bible says. My Bible says, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. But you hang around people that the Bible says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? My Bible says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? You go ahead and decide not to separate yourself from the world. You're going to be influenced by them more than you think, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, the knowledge of God. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Do you believe the word of God, ladies and gentlemen? This is the only hope for America. This book is the only hope for our church. This book is the only hope for your family. This book is the only hope for your children. This book. Let's close with Luke chapter number 1, please. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 1. I wish I could force feed you knowledge from the Word of God, but I cannot do that. You spit it up, throw it up anyway. I wish I could intravenously have knowledge transferred to you from the Word of God, but I can't do it. You have to read it, you have to study it yourself. Mary's son Jesus born. And this is what is said of Jesus Christ in verse number 75. In holiness, chapter 1, verse 75. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people. By the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. He came in verse 77 to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Have you been born again? I mean biblically born again, not baptized, not a church member, not a Baptist. Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? Have you pled for mercy and asked God for forgiveness? That's the beginning. The beginning of knowledge comes from fear of God. And without being saved, you can't ever get the knowledge of God, because you have to be saved in order to get the fear of God in you first. If you're not saved this morning, I would urge you, I would beg you, I would plead with you to trust Jesus Christ this morning. Don't trust your church membership. Don't trust your good deeds. Don't trust what you think is your good life. Trust the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that can wash away your sins, ladies and gentlemen. And the beginning of knowledge shall be yours. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for loving us. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. Lord, my prayer is this morning that if anyone in this room is not saved, I pray they'll trust you this morning. If anyone has any doubts about their salvation, about where they're going to go when they die, may today be their day of salvation. Please bless your Holy Ghost of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Christians praying. You come and do business with God. Christians praying.